Once more, the title of our brother's talk today is Whom Shall I Send and Who Will Go For Us? Please give your undivided attention to our brother Steve Mail. Brother Steve.
My dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the glorious hope of Israel. First of all, I would like to extend the love and greetings of all of the Penderyn Ecclesia. Very thankful that we are able to join with you in this way. And I know Sister Deborah and Sister Abigail were overjoyed that they were able to be with you in person. The second point, brethren and sisters, that I'd like to make is that I really appreciate the Florida's Ecclesia's choosing, their selection of the types of talks. I've been a long-held believer that those fellowships and those ecclesias that dedicate their time in these study weekends to devotional talks is a mark of apostasy, and therefore to be in the law and the prophets is a privilege for us this weekend. And the last point I'd like to make before we begin is that, brethren and sisters, this is a huge subject, the glory of Isaiah chapter 6. And there's a lot of material available by our pioneer brethren on this subject. So this evening, we are able only to deal with it almost in a summary form. But I would encourage the younger brethren and sisters especially to, in their own time, take up the reading of the Berean magazine for 1958, the January edition. And I don't know how many parts there are to that series. I think the one in January 1958 is part three, but it's the editorial by Brother Gibson and is entitled Mine Eyes Have Seen the King. Mine Eyes Have Seen the King. And Brother Gibson does a wonderful job of dealing with this chapter. Unfortunately, there is so much material by Brother Thomas and Brother Roberts, I haven't been able to include any of it in my talk. But brethren and sisters, as our Brother Bill has announced, we are to be dealing this evening with the subject, Whom Shall I Send and Who Will Go For Us? And I'd like to thank Brother Bill for reading Isaiah chapter 5, which introduces our remarks quite nicely, because it shows the backdrop of Israel's spiritual apathy and God's long suffering with them as his chosen people. But I'd like to start our study this evening, if we may, by considering the words of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And at verse 1 we read, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought Elohim in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of Elohim. And as long as he sought Yahweh, Elohim made him to prosper. As long as he sought Yahweh, Elohim made him to prosper." And verse 16, we read, "But when he was strong," this is Uzziah, "when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against Yahweh, his Elohim, and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of Yahweh that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Yahweh, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from Yahweh Elohim. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of Yahweh from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because Yahweh had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of Yahweh, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And those words introduce us nicely to our considerations of Isaiah chapter 6, if we can turn there now. And we'd like you, brethren and sisters, to note very carefully, we'd like you to note particularly these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon her throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died. Why, brethren and sisters, are these words significant? Why does this sixth chapter of Isaiah begin with that statement? Well, we should remind ourselves that this passage of scripture was referenced by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 12, verses 39 to 41. And we'll come back to this, but I'm just going to read it before we turn to it later and consider it in more detail. But it says there, therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. And so, brethren and sisters, this chapter is a chapter, it's a prophecy of future glory, a wonderful vision of the future age. And Brother Thomas in Eureka Volume 5, at page 17, has the following to say. He says, the symbolic lamb and 144,000 on Mount Zion are Yahweh Tisbaoth, he who shall be hosts or armies, of whom Isaiah prophesies, he says in chapter 6, I saw, saith he, Adonai, the spirit in plural manifestation, sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his robe skirts filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, and one cried to another and said, holy, 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 Yahweh Tisbaoth, the whole earth is full of his glory. Adonai, with robe skirts filling the temple, is the spirit as the lamb and the 144,000. And these thousands are the skirts of the investing robe of the king, Yahweh Tisbaoth, and symbolized by the six-winged seraphim, or four living ones, full of eyes, described by John in Apocalypse 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. That Adonai is one in plural manifestation appears from the eighth verse. I heard, saith Isaiah, the voice of Adonai saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who will go for us? In other words, whom shall I, the Spirit or the Father, send? Who will go for us? The plurality, the S, symbolized by the seraph skirts of the investing robe. Finally, the quote finishes, the Spirit of Christ in the prophet answers, here am I, send me. And he said, go. In the ninth and tenth verses is the message to be delivered to Israel. And the delivery is noted in Matthew 13, verses 13 to 15. And the messenger is there found to be Jesus. He came and was slain. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And to him then, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests for the deity and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for the aeons of the aeons. Amen. And so, brethren and sisters, in this sixth chapter of Isaiah, we are in the presence of a vision of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned as king over the whole earth. together with a multitudinous host, the honorable of the ages approved by the great judge himself. The reason then why this first part of the chapter is important is because the time of the vision is stated to be in that year when the king Uzziah died. And there is a good reason as to why it's introduced to us in this way, in this chapter of glory. Because brethren and sisters, if we consider the history of the king, and if we compare it with the vision of Isaiah, we will see why the time and circumstances are so fitting. The death of Uzziah was a matter of particular sorrow because the king was a leper, and a leper directly because of personal transgression. In the Kings and Chronicles, we are told that he ascended to the throne when he was 16 years and that he reigned as king for 52 years. And the record says that he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. It also says that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought Yahweh, he would be made to prosper. And so his association with Zechariah, the prophet, resulted in his upright walk, as the case of Joash before him, under the faithful guidance of Jehoiada, the high priest. It is, of course, not recorded how long Uzziah's prosperity continued, but the record says that when he was strong, his heart lifted up to his destruction. What was Uzziah's transgression then? In what way did he sin? Well, as we read in 2 Chronicles, he went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense, the work of which was reserved for the priests. He attempted to play the part of king, which he was, and to play the part of the priests. He was warned by Azariah, the high priest, and 80, that's 80 others, but in his wrath, with censer in hand, he would not concede to their request, and the judgment of Yahweh came upon him, and he became leprous to the day of his death. And concerning leprosy, Brother Grocott in BE Transformed, Volume 1, says leprosy, page 163, that leprosy, the dreaded living death that slowly but relentlessly consumed its helpless victims, is a scriptural symbol of the deadly uncleanness of sin. Leprosy, the dreaded living death that slowly but relentlessly consumed its helpless victim, is a scriptural symbol of the deadly uncleanness of sin. It wasn't just leprosy, brethren and sisters. It was leprosy of the forehead. And this was the worst kind of leprosy because it physically defiled and interfered with the mind, interfered with the thinking. And so the themes of these verses in this sixth chapter are: in verse 1, we have, in the year Uzziah died, Isaiah saw a throne high and lifted up, which filled the temple. In verse 2, the seraphim stood, which had 6 wings, 2 covered his face, 2 covered his feet, and with the other 2 he did fly. We're introduced to the holy, holy, or the separate, separate, separate. The whole earth is full of his glory in verse 3. And then in verse 4, the posts of the door moved as the voice that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, I am undone. And that word undone means to cut off, to cease from a root, meaning to be dumb or silent. Because of unclean lips, brethren and sisters, because of unclean lips. And also that he was dwelling with people of unclean lips. His eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of armies. Lips we're going to come on to later on in our address, but just 3 or 4 references from Proverbs, that it's a really interesting study, which again, we don't have time to really go into this evening, but it is an interesting study in its own right. Proverbs 8, verse 7 says, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Proverbs 10, verse 13 says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Proverbs 10, verse 32 says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And then Proverbs 13, verse 3, finally, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. That's verse 5. And then in verse 6, we have the flying seraphim with live coals in his hand taken from the altar. Verse 7, this was laid upon his mouth, touching his lips. Iniquity was taken away, brethren and sisters. Sin was purged. And then verse 8, the voice of Yahweh, whom shall I send? Who will go? Here am I, send me. Isaiah, brethren and sisters, was the largest of all the prophets, and this prophecy is truly remarkable. If you ever wondered what the major features were, we would say they are predominantly twofold. In Isaiah, that is, not just chapter 6 in Isaiah. The first, we believe that Isaiah expounds the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his future glory. As we consider that aspect of the servant in chapter 42 to 53. And also he deals with the calling of the Gentiles. He is the most quoted prophet of the Old Testament by some way, mentioned specifically no less than 20 times. As one brother once said, the prophecy of Isaiah is the gospel in the Old Testament. We've referred to John 12 already, but we did say that we would go back there. Let's go back to John 12. Look at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Certain Greeks. We should remind ourselves, brethren and sisters, that the Greeks were not very popular amongst the Jews. But it says they came up to worship. Came up to worship. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The Greeks' desire to worship him appeared to be acknowledged and approved. But then we turn, brethren and sisters, sadly, to his own people, the Jews, the house of Israel, in verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They believed not on him, despite the many miracles. They were blinded, it goes on to say. Their minds were so full of darkness that the light could not permeate them. It could not penetrate. And despite incredible miracles being performed right before their eyes, they believed not. It goes on to say this was in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah. And if we think about the prophet Isaiah at chapter 53, it says, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Not the Jews, brethren and sisters. They were blind. Who hath believed our report? Verse 1. And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? Isaiah 53, that is verse 1. And that's the question. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And we know that it was revealed to the Jews. But they were blind and received him not. John says that he, the eternal spirit, through Isaiah, that he saw the glory and spake of him, he who was the altogether lovely one. And just for a